you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
This episode sponsored by our friends at The Wellness Company. Head over to twchealth.com/Dobbs to get your med kit. A med kit with all the essential pharmaceuticals, you know, the ones the mainstream media and Marxist left don't want you to have, like ivermectin, Z-Pax, amoxicillin, and much more. Be prepared for when the next plague hits by heading over to twchealth.com/Dobbs and enter promo code Dobbs at checkout to save 15% off your entire order. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Great America Show. Great to have you with us. Welcome. President Trump is on trial in New York. He's being held hostage by the corrupt Marxist Dem judiciary, but it's not stopping him from getting out and talking with voters and the American people. Trump yesterday stopping by a union job site in downtown Manhattan. Just say hello to those workers, union workers, big union workers. And President Trump was asked how important the union vote is, considering the long history that unions have in supporting Democrats. President Trump said he doesn't think any one of these hardworking Americans will support the Marxist Dem puppet Joe Biden.
How important is the union vote? And you're here in New York City, you're talking with these members. Do you think you can maybe change some of their minds if they were lifelong Democrats to vote for you?
I think these maybe were Democrats, but for me, they're a Republican. There's not a Democrat in there. These are people. Look at that building. Look what we can do. We built a lot of great buildings in this city with these people. And they've given me great support. They're really amazing. You know what? They're very, very talented people. They don't get the credit for it. They have, very few people can do what they do. We used to do three floors a week in concrete, and it was guys like this that did it. So it's very amazing.
The Steamfitter Union Local 639 boss, Bob Bartels, said he's done his own polling inside the union and says President Trump is up three votes for every one Biden supporter. Bartels said Americans are tired of what is going on in America with high inflation, low economic growth, high crime, and runaway illegal aliens.
It was great to see the president come and engaging with the blue-collar worker of New York City. We basically built New York. The union movement has made the middle class. And we are very patriotic union, and we are pro-America. So my members right now, I put out a poll in my union. President Trump is leading Joe Biden 3-1 on my presidential poll out of my 9,000 members right now. We are very tired of the situation with groceries, inflation, gas prices, illegal immigration, crime. We're living it every day in New York City.
The Steamfitters Union obviously supporting Donald Trump 3-1. And by the way, hopefully that'll be an example to all the other big unions in big blue states. And while President Trump is being held hostage in New York courtrooms, his attorneys were a few hundred miles south in Washington, D.C., arguing before the Supreme Court for presidential immunity. Trump attorney John Sauer telling the Supreme Court that without presidential immunity from criminal prosecution, there can be no presidency as we know it. If a president can be charged, put on trial, and imprisoned for his most controversial decisions as soon as he leaves office, that looming threat will distort the president's decision-making precisely when bold and fearless action would be most needed. For example, how about President Truman when he dropped the atomic bomb? Should he have been held responsible? I don't think so. Here's John Sauer.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. Without presidential immunity from criminal prosecution, there can be no presidency as we know it. For 234 years of American history, no president was ever prosecuted for his official acts. The framers of our Constitution viewed an energetic executive as essential to securing liberty. If a president can be charged, put on trial, and imprisoned for his most controversial decisions as soon as he leaves office, that looming threat will distort the president's decision-making precisely when bold and fearless action is most needed. Every current president will face de facto blackmail and extortion by his political rivals while he is still in office. The implications of the court's decision here extend far beyond the facts of this case. Could President George W. Bush have been sent to prison for obstructing an official proceeding or allegedly lying to Congress to induce war in Iraq? Could President Obama be charged with murder for killing U.S. citizens abroad by drone strike? Could President Biden someday be charged with unlawfully inducing immigrants to enter the country illegally for his border policies? The answer to all these questions is no. Prosecuting the president for his official acts is an innovation with no foothold in history or tradition and incompatible with our constitutional structure. The original meaning of the executive vesting clause, the framers' understanding and intent, an unbroken historical tradition spanning 200 years, and policy considerations rooted in the separation of powers all counsel against it. I welcome the court's questions.
And Justice Alito seemed to almost completely agree with Sauer's argument, asking the Marxist prosecutors why Trump is the only former president to have ever been charged. What about President Franklin D. Roosevelt's decision to intern Japanese Americans during World War II? Couldn't that have been charged? Take a listen to DOJ corrupt attorney Michael Dreeben and Justice Alito.
Mr. Sauer and others have identified events in the past where presidents have engaged in conduct that might have been charged as a federal crime. And you say, well, no, that's not really true. This is page 42 of your brief. So what about President Franklin D. Roosevelt's decision to intern Japanese Americans during World War II? Couldn't that have been charged under 18 U.S.C. 241, conspiracy against civil rights?
Today, yes, given this court's decision in Trump versus United States, in which where the court said Korematsu is overruled. I mean, President Roosevelt made that decision with the advice of his attorney general. That's a layer
of
safeguard.
Is that really true? I thought Attorney General Biddle thought that there was really no threat of sabotage, as did J. Edgar Hoover.
So I think that there is a lot of historical controversy, but it underscores that that occurred during wartime. It implicates potential commander-in-chief concerns about the exigencies of national defense that might provide an as-applied Article II challenge at the time. I'm not suggesting today, but the idea that a decision that was made and ultimately endorsed by this court, perhaps wrongly, in the Korematsu case, would support criminal prosecution under 241, which requires under United States versus Lanier that the right have been made specific so that there is notice to the president, I don't think that would have been satisfied.
All right. Well, we could go through other historical examples. I won't do that.
And so we wait for the official decision from the Supreme Court, and hopefully they will show all of the corrupt courts how they should behave and conduct themselves and rule. Our guest now, along with his organization, has been covering President Trump and his persecution by the Marxist Dems for years. And Judicial Watch has been pushing back on all of that government corruption and overreach. And joining us now is the man who leads a very important watchdog group, I think the most important watchdog group in Washington, Judicial Watch, Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton. Tom, great to have you back with us.
Thank you, Lou. Thank you for having me.
Everyone is waiting on tenterhooks for this Supreme Court to hold these arguments and to begin the process of reaching a ruling, a decision. Your thoughts on how today went and how you expect the case to go?
Well, thankfully, there were no surprises in the sense that there's a strong majority, it seems, for essentially, in my view, ending the cases against Trump by Jack Smith, both here in Washington, D.C. and Miami, over documents and his efforts to ensure a lawful election outcome in 2020. And frankly, it takes the wind out of the sails and probably shuts down, in effect, if the final decision follows what the oral arguments seem to be following, will shut down Fannie Willis's operation down in Georgia as well. The big issue for listeners and viewers who haven't followed this is that, you know, Jack Smith and the Biden regime decided after 250 years that they could start indicting presidents for their official acts as presidents after they leave office. Now, I don't know why they have to wait till after they leave office, but that's another matter. And Trump's people said, well, that's craziness. Obviously, no president is going to be able to operate if he's facing a prosecutor the minute he gets out of office. And the Supreme Court, I wouldn't say a super majority, but it looks like he's going to get a 6-3 majority in the least agreeing with him. And Trump's going to be vindicated again. And at least the lawfare will suffer a significant battle. But there are going to be many battles up ahead. You know, there's, you know, the equivalent of battles of the bulge, I would submit, as the left continues its jihad against the rule of law and constitutional government.
Yeah, without any question at all. And the it was, to me, disconcerting to hear the, I'll put it this way, the left-wing judges on the court, justices, listening to their reasoning, listening to their logic, and their knowledge of law, I will leave to others, but their logic was frightening, and their concerns and hypotheticals were bizarre, and left me just wondering why they aren't considered part of the evidence for the reason that a president needs presidential immunity. I mean, the left is a little scary, both in their knowledge base and in their capacity for reason, and where that reason leads them.
Yeah, if the goal for judges and prosecutors is to get a man, Trump, you know, the law becomes inconsequential. Logic becomes inconsequential. The public good becomes inconsequential. And I mean, to me, what I thought was illustrative of just, or an admission of just how awful the Biden administration is here, there was a suggestion by the Solicitor General, because people were saying, well, what about prior presidents? Well, no prior president, the Biden Justice Department said, has ever committed a crime while in office, you know, through his official acts. To me, they're saying is it's just about Trump. Right. And when they're faced with questions about what happens to prior presidents, they say, don't worry, it's just about Trump. Or don't worry, you can trust the Justice Department and all the checks in place in the deep state to ensure that a president isn't abused. And when you're abusing a president lawlessly, you're abusing our Constitution and the very structure of our constitutional republic. And that structure is designed to protect our liberty.
And it's the reality is, these are folks, if anyone is to be protecting the Constitution, these are the people to do it. The idea that any local prosecutor, any state prosecutor, frankly, any federal prosecutor can at will, as it serves his or her political purpose, bring charges against the President of the United States. It is, to me right now, the whole country is an evidence cabinet right now. And open it up and you see Fulton County, you see the D.C.'s courts, you see the New York courts, yeah. Every one of them conspiring to interfere with the election, quote unquote. That means kill Trump. You've got the Congress of the Democratic Party that is now trying to take away his Secret Service protection. They're trying not only to imprison him, but they would like to kill him as well. This is outrageous. And if that Supreme Court does not understand that that is evidence that bears directly on this case in a practical and pragmatic and inescapable way, I don't know what it will take.
Yeah, and I'm hopeful and I expect the court to rule the right way, whether it will be as aggressive and provide Trump all the relief I think he deserves, I don't know. What I'm hearing is from some of the arguments is they might want to just kick it downstairs and force the president to go through a process while the court, while the Biden Justice Department tries to delineate what was official and what's personal in his acts while he was in the presidency, which, as you know, or I would think that any normal person would see, something that you can't really separate the two from, especially in matters of elections and campaigning and enforcing the rule of law as it relates to all of that. So, it would be an important victory and vindication for the rule of law. But as you're highlighting, these threats continue. Right now, the president is a political hostage up in New York, where he's being held hostage for specious charges in a kangaroo court proceeding. Not only is he being abused, I want to stand up for those jurors who are being abused. You can put a lipstick on a pig. No jury is going to be able to ratify that poisonous judicial process up there that is an indictment and a prosecution about nothing. I mean, we're still not clear what the full scope of the charges that they're going after Trump on. And the judge doesn't care. He's a Biden, literally a Biden donor. And, compromised six ways to Sunday under basic standards of judicial ethics. And of course, Bragg is a Democratic prosecutor. Heck, Lou, did you see who made the opening argument for the prosecution up in New York? A former top Biden appointee from the Justice Department.
Yeah.
So you're highlighting correctly. And if I were the president, or maybe the next honest president, we'll have to wait for that, I'd appoint personally a special prosecutor to investigate this grand conspiracy, as you've laid out, by the Democratic Party and the Biden regime, their allied elected prosecutors in Arizona now and New York and elsewhere, not only in Georgia, but in Michigan, they've got civil process as well, to investigate this conspiracy against our elections and this malicious effort to deprive Donald Trump and millions of Americans their civil rights under law.
Right.
And to abuse their power to take away their civil rights under color law, which is illegal. And that's the crime I think should be what we're seeing here in New York is not evidence of wrongdoing by Trump, but evidence of criminality by the Democratic Party machine in New York that's trying to make him a political prisoner. And as you see, a Democratic leader here in the House of Representatives, Benny Thompson, and it's worth talking about further, introduced legislation. And of course, remember, he was the minion working for Pelosi on the January 6th committee, running that show trial of a proceeding to remove the Secret Service protection of Donald Trump. And it's all targeted at Trump. They're pretending it will be neutrally applied, but it's only written for Trump.
Yeah.
If he gets sent to jail for a year or more, whatever their standard is. So under their logic, they want to be able to send Trump to Rikers Island for a year without Secret Service protection, which is a death sentence.
Yeah, no question about it. And this is also a death sentence for the Constitutional Republic, because if the Marxist Dems, this corrupt deep state succeeds against Donald Trump, I truly believe it is the end for us. And people had better understand that, the stakes. And we're going to get to that as we continue with Judicial Watch's Tom Fitton. Please stay with us. We're going to be right back. Please stay with us. Folks, you know I beg everyone to get ready for the next crisis. And when it comes, our lives will likely change overnight, whether it's natural disaster, war, or another disease. We have to be ready as we can be. We saw what happened in 2020 when we found ourselves dependent on global supply chains. We're still dependent on China and other countries for more than 90% of all our pharmaceuticals. With clusters of respiratory illnesses popping up around the world and here, we need to be prepared. And now is the time to make certain you have what your family needs when the next crisis hits. Our good friends, Dr. Peter McCullough and Dr. Drew Pinsky over at The Wellness Company have put together just what you and I need with The Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit. And now The Wellness Company's Medical Kit provides a solution critical to you and your loved ones. This emergency kit includes 8 life-saving medications, including amoxicillin, Z-Pak, and ivermectin for you to keep on hand, along with a guidebook for safe use. From tick bites to biochemical events, every medical scenario is covered. Be prepared for whatever comes next. Go to twc.health/Dobbs and grab your medical emergency kit right now. Go to twc.health/Dobbs now. That's twc.health/Dobbs. Put in promo code Dobbs and save 15% at checkout. Take control of your health today with the Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit. Prepare today, be ready tomorrow.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Back now, we're talking with Tom Fenton, president of Judicial Watch. And Tom, let me begin with this. This is a remarkable moment to me, at least. We now have a court document that indicates Jack Smith and the FBI were after Obama and North Korea related documents when they went after Donald Trump and his documents in Mar-a-Lago. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know if that was Jack Smith at the time. It was the Biden administration.
Yeah.
I mean, what's happening or what had happened was the National Archives has this view that they are the law when it comes to presidential records. And as we've highlighted, no, the person who decides what's a presidential record versus a personal record is, unsurprisingly, the president of the United States, not a bureaucrat who literally works for them. And so when Barack Obama, even probably mistakenly by all accounts, kept a personal memento, I think it was a letter sent to him personally and maybe the pen that was signed, I forget the detail. They're like, well, that's ours. And of course, rather than, you know, the Obama gang, you know, pretended, oh, yeah, they're right, as opposed to just making the stance to saying, well, this is his personal record. If you want it for history purposes, you can have it, but, you know, stop pretending it's yours. And indeed, that's how they started going after Trump. They, you remember that map he had with the hurricane and there was the drawing? They wanted that as a quote, a presidential record. Well, to me, that's a quintessential personal record if he decides to keep it as a memento and just keep it because this is something, or a letter from him to Obama. I think that was one of the other issues that they were going after him on. So these are kind of obviously personal records, and the bureaucrats should not be the tail wagging the dog in our constitutional republic. And of course, they only prosecute Trump, and all these other presidents who've kept records get a free pass.
You know, it really does speak to how weak the Republican Party is. They would never have gone after Trump. with this banality, this viciousness, and arrogance. If the Republican Party had any strength to it at all, whether it be on Wall Street or corporate America, had any institutional strength, certainly they don't have it in government. I just can't, to watch the arrogance of these people deciding what is law. Suddenly the National Archives are part of a grand, a grand conspiracy against the Trump administration. And for what reason? And suddenly we find out they're making all sorts of decisions at the behest and in behalf of Joe Biden. It's really just a crazy moment.
You know, and you're right about the Republican Party. At least, you know, obviously there are always members that kind of want to do the right thing. But certainly the leadership, and I would say even some of our friends on the Hill who are hardcore conservatives, that really dropped the ball when it comes to confronting this corruption or kind of this war, this lawfare against Trump and millions of other Americans. They are, Bragg is harassing Trump right now. Why aren't there Republicans in the courtroom with him?
Right.
Why aren't there press conferences outside the courthouse? Why isn't Bragg and people who've talked to him in other agencies being brought before Congress every day for each day the trial's going forward? You know, and I kind of make the obviously that's not going to happen, nor would it ever. But I'm just trying to make the point. There's oversight potential here and a defunding opportunity with defunding not only Jack Smith, but curtailing federal funding to jurisdictions who are harassing and abusing Trump and other innocents, all of which they've taken a pass on. And concurrently, we're now being told, and I've been kind of yelling about it for 2 weeks now, the Republicans want to give up on Biden impeachment. They think they don't have the votes. So, of course, they're not going to actually provide leadership to get the votes or educate the public as to why it's necessary. They're just going to let it die on the vine.
Yeah. Watching Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, and his performance, and it is performative. Everything he's doing is performative.
That's right. And that's no criticism. That's a fact. It's a reality.
It's just who it is doing what he does.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the Republicans, there are a couple of congressmen who are talking about, you know, he's a Christian. There's going to be a terrible blowback against you if you criticize the Christian incompetent oaf who is a pretend figure in the speakership. I'm sorry. That's just nonsense. And they know it's nonsense. The evangelical community is much smarter than that. The Catholic Church is much smarter than that. I can't think of a denomination that is so dumb that they would not see the betrayal by Mike Johnson of the fundamental principles, the promises he made. My goodness, it's a disaster. How can it be?
Well, I mean, we could go over the political reasons for how can it be. And I think even Johnson would laugh at people saying he shouldn't be held accountable because of his religious beliefs. I mean, no one doubts that, you know, he tries to be a Christian person and take that Christian approach. But he would be probably the first, based on my experience with him, to tell you, yeah, hold me accountable. You know, and I disagree with you tactically about where we should go, but hold me accountable. And to hold him accountable means to highlight the failure of leadership by him and other Republicans on the Hill. And this is where I would differ even from my conservative friends. It's not just Mike Johnson.
No,
it's other. It's the House Freedom Caucus. I don't know about you. They seem all over the place on a lot of these issues, certainly on these core corruption issues. And I would just submit Republicans would do a lot better if they appreciated that when it comes to oversight and accountability, if they had acted as if they had a 60-seat majority and spent more time on that rather than trying to thread the needle on policy issues where it was obvious they were going to have much more difficulty. And, of course, they never take my political advice. So in the end, we get nothing. We don't get the good policy, and we don't get the effective oversight.
Right. Right.
Now, it's better than it used to be, but still woefully insufficient and inexcusably so, given the resources available to the House Republicans.
Are you surprised that Donald Trump has backed him to a considerable extent?
No. I think Donald Trump's a nice guy. He deals with you in business, and my guess is he's developed a relationship with with Speaker Johnson and, with other past leaders. And, I don't expect, Donald Trump isn't the type of president, and he isn't the type of politician or the type of person who just quickly throws people overboard at the drop of a hat. Now he will throw them overboard sometimes, usually appropriately so.
And usually a little late.
Well,
usually a little late.
It's true. That's true. And he'd be the first to admit that. I think Trump is entirely too nice a politician.
Do you know, that's the interesting thing. I think one of his interesting character traits. He's as tough as anybody could possibly be, smart as a whip, bright, imaginative, original thinker, which really just confounds the Marxist M's. They cannot comprehend the battle they're in with a superior force, even if it's a force of one. And at the same time, the man has a capacity for personal warmth, charity, generosity. And he also has another characteristic, and that is he likes to be in the company of friends. And that's the way it is. And he will make Mike Johnson a friend until he is until there is an egregious breach by Johnson that is inescapable. I thought it might be the warrantless wiretap. Trump told him it's a bad idea and left it at that. We're going to come right back. We're talking with Tom Fitton, and you don't want to miss a word of what he says here next. Stay with us.
Lou Dobbs here. I'm delighted to let you all know that the program Lou Dobbs Tonight has returned to the air. That's right. Lou Dobbs Tonight is back. We're live each and every weeknight at 7 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Central on rumble.com/Lou Dobbs. That's rumble.com/Lou Dobbs. I hope you'll be joining us for Lou Dobbs Tonight as our fight to save this country has only begun.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're back now with Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton. And as I said at the outset, Judicial Watch, in my opinion, is the most important watchdog group in Washington, D.C., without any question. Okay. They have, as you know, brought a $30 million wrongful death suit in the murder of Ashley Babbitt. And I want to ask you how that suit against the government is going. What has been what is your take on the response?
So we're representing, our lawyers are representing her estate and her family, her husband, widower, Aaron Babbitt. I don't know if you've had him on your program before. It's a $30 million wrongful death action against the federal government. And it was filed where they live, out in San Diego, the Southern District of California. So that was filed in January 5th, 2024, just a few months ago. And what was the Biden administration's first response? To move the case out of Southern California to here in D.C. And I encourage your viewers and listeners to go to our website and look at our briefs in response. It's pretty clear the reason they want to move it here is because it's forum shopping. They believe, and I think quite rightfully, that they will have more friendly courts here for their cause. There's bias against January 6ers. There's bias specifically that we've highlighted by district court judges here in Washington, D.C. against Ashley herself. And so we're opposing her case being moved here. And then secondly, another thing that popped up in our in separate litigation, but it's illustrative of just how abused Ashley was by this regime here, is that the FBI, we found through FOIA litigation, was investigating Ashley for criminal allegations after she died for months. So why on earth would they be doing that other than to harass her family and friends and frankly come up with after-the-fact justifications for her illicit killing? Truly outrageous.
And Tom, this would be concurrent, contemporaneous with the Marxist Dems efforts, the Pelosi machine, to hide Lieutenant Michael Byrd from the public for 6 months. They succeeded in stashing him away. It's all part of a piece, isn't it?
It sure is. And, you know, just think back to, well, think to every other officer-involved shooting.
Right.
And how public the investigations are and the level of accountability for those police officers, none of which applied to Byrd. So he's kept secret. The FBI is harassing Ashley Babbitt's legacy and family and trying to justify her death. And then a little bit later in the year, we found out they put up Lieutenant Byrd, her killer, in Andrews Air Force Base, or what is now Joint Base Andrews, in the VIP suite that's usually reserved for generals for 4 or 5 months. Yeah. It's just astonishing to me. So I want to know, in our lawsuit against the U.S. government over the congressional police officer shooting of Ashley Babbitt, I wonder what Congress's position is on that litigation.
Well,
What's Speaker Johnson's position?
Well, it's difficult to know what his position is because it changes. And if he does enunciate a position, he reverses it at the most the least opportune moments. It's very difficult. And to see the way in which the 118th Congress is whimpering to the end of this pivotal year, this presidential election year, is dispiriting, I think, for a lot of those Republican conference members, don't you?
Oh, the year's over. It's over.
Yeah.
Now, the next big legislative issue will be, I mean, there'll be other smaller issues that pop up, obviously, but effectively everything done until it gets closer to September 30th when you have a new fiscal year and they're supposed to have a new budget in place. And so the question then is, are they going to keep on funding fully the destruction of our nation, the invasion of our nation, the abuse of Trump? And how long will they do it for? Will they do it for in a way that will negate the next president's ability to set a budget in the next year? Or will they have a briefer funding measure that gives prerogatives to the next president and the next Congress? So those are the challenges. And I kind of, I don't want to be too negative, but based on past experience, I think we can guess how it's going to turn out.
Yeah. And not wishing to be negative myself, I'm not going to say amen. I'm not going to say you're exactly right, but I will generally affirm your spirit of optimism that you expressed. As we go forward, this is all about Donald Trump. He is the Republican Party. He's not simply the leader. He is the only one with an agenda, with a vision, and with a strategy. And that is the sum total of the Republican Party right now. It is fractionalized. It is polarized. And it also has leadership that is not questionable. There's no question about their inadequacy. So this is going to be a very difficult moment, and we're going to see, I think, something remarkable we're going to see an entire Congress that has to ride in on the coattails of one man, and that one man is Donald Trump. What do you think?
I think that's an astute political analysis, and I'm not saying it just to blow smoke in your ear.
Well, it's okay.
But that's reality.
Anyway,
I think pretty much every observer would highlight that Republicans are going to have difficulty retaining the House without Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, if they had to fight on their own, if this was kind of a off-year election or, you know, a non-presidential election year, there'd be little doubt that I think Republicans would lose the House. So a lot's riding on President Trump, which is why, you know, from our nonpartisan, non-campaign perspective as Judicial Watch, it tells you what the motivation is for the corruption and abuse targeting him. He right now, as we said earlier, is being held hostage in New York, and he's unable to campaign and will be unable to campaign the way he otherwise would for 2 months. And who knows how much longer, because as you know, they're trying to wire it in a way that he gets thrown in jail on these so-called violations of the unconstitutional abusive gag orders. So, you know, it's not a question whether he gets convicted or not, because I think, you know, the chances are he will, given the jury pool up there. But even if he doesn't, they'll try to find a way to further restrain and constrain his freedom most directly. And it's a dangerous time for our republic, because if he goes away to jail, his safety will be put at risk. Our nation will be destabilized even further. It will be a national security issue, because threats, you know, our enemies and friends abroad will see us, America, as an unreliable player on the international field because of the discord and civil strife at home caused by Biden's abusive political, Biden and the Democratic Party's maniacal efforts to jail Trump and his support and his supporters.
Maniacal and, in my judgment, demonic efforts. And Macron, the president of France, saying as more threats originate from the Kremlin to Europe over Ukraine and the red lines that they have crossed, Putin's red lines. Macron saying, and I thought he has it right. He said that our Europe may be lost. They understand the gravity of the peril that awaits Europe if they do not come to some sort of sensible resolution. This is a moment for you know, even the bravest of hearts in Europe to tremble. That doesn't mean to in any way fail to fight with every ounce of energy, but a fight seems to be ahead. And now the question is, will we go to war with a cognitively impaired, politically compromised, corrupt puppet president? It's unthinkable. Your concluding thoughts here today.
No, I think you're right. And Macron is, you know, he probably wouldn't say this as directly as we would, that the transnational left and the international elites are failing. You know, at least the liberal order in the post-World War era, you know, it was basically liberal.
Right.
But it wasn't failing and collapsing. And Macron, and I think many of us, see a collapse of the civilized order under the pressure from despots, under pressure from internal communist revolutionaries, and under pressure caused by our sheer incompetence of the liberal elites who pretend to be running the show. And those are the dangers, that, you know, you will have these sort of collapses of the world order. And that's the irony here. You know, those of us who are kind of want a strong national defense and want our defense and our foreign adventures to reflect the principles of our security first, that is the best way to secure the world order, because it reassures people that we know where America stands. They're always going to be on the side of America, and you don't want to get on the wrong side of that fight.
Yeah. And too many in Europe, at least, have forgotten that important lesson from the past.
And Biden doesn't. He's not on the side of America on these fights.
Not at all. Not at all. Whose side he's on, well, I think we'd have to go through his bank accounts to find out.
We'd have to look at his bank statements and talk to whoever is his elder care specialist.
Well, I guess the expression is the juice man. I don't know what it is, but anyway. Tom Fedden, great to have you with us. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. And as always, thanks for all the great work you and Judicial Watch do.
We appreciate it.
Thanks, everybody, for being with us. Be sure to join us tomorrow for the Great America Saturday Show. Follow me on Twitter and Truth Social at Lou Dobbs, on Facebook and Instagram at Lou Dobbs Tonight. And every day, Monday through Friday, on Rumble and Frank Speech and X for Lou Dobbs Tonight. Thanks, everybody. God bless you, and may God bless America.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.